When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From NJ.com, this is Talk is Cheap, a New York Giants podcast. We're talking big blue football all year round.
What's going on, everybody? Zach Rosenblatt back here for the latest episode of the Talk is Cheap podcast. I'm here with Daryl Slater. The Giants are 3-7. They just won their second straight game. All of a sudden, they have a legit shot at this truly terrible NFC East division. But there's nothing to walk away from that Giants Eagles game that wasn't positive. Like they played a really good game. They led the whole way. They didn't give up a lead like they normally do. Daniel Jones didn't turn the ball over. The defense played well. The Eagles looked like an absolute disaster. As I always ask you every week, like what was your thoughts at the end of that game when the Giants won again? And now all of a sudden we have to actually think about them as division contenders.
They actually beat somebody besides Washington.
Yeah. But not outside of the division, though.
Yeah. I mean, obviously a really important big win for them. I mean, double-digit wins, not really a common thing for this team since Dave Gettleman took over. They have four of them now. Really, they have four wins of more than 6 points, actually, in the Dave Gettleman era. And then two of them are over Washington, and then one over Miami and one here against the Eagles, who obviously have been just such a massive disappointment. But you know, you look at this Eagles team, and it's a really, like, objectively a pretty talented team, certainly more talented than the Giants. And for the Giants to be able to win that game and not only win, but kind of fend off the Eagles late and close out a win, I think that was really important for this team and really important for Joe Judge's group to be able to close out and to be able to finish. And that's sort of one of those lessons of learning to win that a young rebuilding team has to go through. And so this was a big step, regardless of what happens going forward this season, whether they win the division or what. I think this is something that they can kind of carry forward, presuming they don't, you know, get their doors blown off the rest of the way. But this is something they could certainly build on the rest of the season and next season, regardless of whether playoffs happen or don't this year.
Yeah, you know, it's such like a – I mean, this year is so weird in general, and then, like, it's just so crazy to me that we're sitting here, like, having a serious conversation about the Giants as a playoff team and how great Joe Judge is and all this. And maybe Dave Gettleman saved and all this stuff. Daniel Jones turned the season around. They're 3-7 still at the end of the day. I was texting you about this the other day. I wrote about it, I believe, the day after the game or day or two after the game. I think there's been something like 128 teams that started 1-7 since 1920, according to Pro Football Reference, and none of them made the playoffs. And that's like the level of like how bad the NFC East is, that's a possibility, means like this literally might be the worst division in the history of the NFL.
You tweeted also the stats from 538, their likelihood to win the division is still something like 23% or something like that. And even sitting where they are so close to the division lead, and where the Eagles are something to, you know, just north of 50% to win the division still. So obviously the Giants don't have the division lead. They're not in the driver's seat or anything like that, but the Eagles are still technically in the driver's seat there. So, but I don't know what the next automobile metaphor is there. The Giants are in they're tailgating the Eagles, I guess would be the way to put it. They're bump drafting them. If for all those NASCAR people out there, I don't know. You don't know what that means, do you?
I don't know anything about NASCAR.
There you go. Yeah. So they're right on their bumper. So in a restrictor plate race, they're bump drafting them. So
I know you have so much NASCAR knowledge, Daryl.
I covered NASCAR when I lived in Virginia.
I did not realize that. Yeah. Wow.
When I lived in Virginia, starting my career out down there, I covered NASCAR a little bit. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, there you go. So they're right on the tail. They're right on the bumper of the Eagles, and have shown that they can beat them. And then that was another hurdle. I didn't even mention that they got over the hump against the Eagles, which for Giant fans, you know, people who have been Giant fans for like years and years and years, to get spanked and smacked around by the Eagles as much as the Giants had been in recent years, 8 straight losses, losing 12 of 13. to be able to get over that hump is pretty cool for Giant fans, obviously. And I mean, every team is different, obviously, and that those past results have no bearing on this one. But even in a vacuum, like we've said here in the past few seconds, this win was really like, can you think of like a win for a team to get to 3-7 that's ever been like as important as this one? It's crazy, right? In terms of being able to stay in the hunt for the playoff race, which is bonkers. I still think they got to win one. I still think they have to win 6 games. So it's not.
Yeah.
It's not a certainty. I suppose mathematically they could win the division at 5-11.
Yeah, so they legitimately can get in with a 5-11 record, especially because you look at the upcoming schedules. All four NFC East teams are having the bulk of their non-division schedule. The Giants only have one more division game, which is against the Cowboys in Week 17. And if you, like, you look at these team schedules, they're playing some tough teams, and you know, so if you. So I don't think the team that wins the division is going to have 5 wins, but I wouldn't put it past this this year. I would say the Giants probably have to get to 6 if they want to get it, especially because, you know, the Eagles are going to have most tiebreakers just because they have that. I mean, the Giants are not going to have the same record as the Eagles at the end of the season. So you have to have, you know, because they're 3-5-1. So, you know, it's going to be, I think this Bengals game coming up, if they actually want to win this division, they're going to have to win that game. Because you look at the schedule coming after that, the Giants, I forget the order exactly, but they play the Seahawks, the Cardinals, the Browns, and the Ravens, which are all playoff teams with 6 wins right now. The Eagles have a similarly tough schedule. Like, they could legitimately lose their next 5 games. Washington, the Giants have the tiebreaker in Washington because they beat them twice. And Dallas, you know, they could get the tiebreaker back if they beat them in Week 17 in theory. So the Eagles are the team that you kind of have to keep track of. The disadvantage the Giants have this week is that they're on bye, and the Eagles can, in theory, make up, you know, extend the lead they have. But there's definitely like a path that the Giants get in there. But again, it's like, number one, they have to win at least 3 more games, which it took them 10 games to get their third win. And they need the Eagles to lose a lot, which I wouldn't rule out because, as you and I both saw, the Eagles are just, the Cowboys might be a bigger mess, but the Eagles are a disaster right now.
Absolute disaster. I mean, it's really unbelievable. I mean, I know they've had some injuries, but they're getting guys back, you know, at this point. And for them to have as many problems as they've had, especially losing to a bad Giants team like they did, is, you know, you really have to wonder. I know Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl, and you think that that's, you know, mints you with lifetime status in Philadelphia, but the wins kind of change quickly in the NFL, the winds of fortune. And I think here you have to look at, you know, does he get fired if they lose this division? If they can't win the division this year, does Doug Peterson get fired? I think that needs to be headline number one every single day if you're covering the Eagles, honestly. And I do our hot seat rankings thing every week, and sometimes on Tuesday, sometimes on Wednesday. But, you know, he's going to be right up there tomorrow. We're talking Tuesday night, and when this comes out Wednesday, he's certainly going to be right up there in those hot seat rankings, as he should be, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it again, because what he tends to do, I mean, they're having a worse start than they even normally do, but he tends to, like, you know, he's really good at rallying the troops in the second half of the season, and when it seems like it's over, they win 3 in a row, they make the playoffs, they almost win, then it's back to square one again. So, like, if that, I don't think he'll get fired if the Eagles, like, win the division with 6 wins or 5 wins necessarily.
Right, right. But what if they don't win the division?
But if they don't, yeah, I mean, if they finish the season with 3 or 4 wins, then I think Jeffrey Lurie is going to seriously consider.
What if they win 5 games and they lose the division? That would really be 5.5 wins, right?
Because yeah,
what if then?
I don't think it's like 100% like they're going to fire him, but I definitely would put it closer to 50-50 than maybe anyone would have expected. You know, the whole, like, idea of a Super Bowl honeymoon, Doug Peterson is really, like, testing his limits with that. But, I mean, you have to say they won the division the last 2 years. They made the playoffs 3 years in a row. They won the Super Bowl, and this is one bad year. But, you know, you can feel the kind of wheels falling off is the issue. And I wrote about this earlier this week coming out of the game. I think you could make the argument for maybe the first time in a long time that the Giants are in better positioned for the future, I should say, than the Eagles are. Again, you've talked about, you know, they probably have less talent, and the Giants still have a lot of questions, but, like, there's so much more room to get better for the Giants than there is for the Eagles. Like, if they're in the same spot right now, then the Giants have a better chance of getting out of it, maybe, just because of, you know, there's a lot of, you know, optimism surrounding Joe Judge. Daniel Jones is on his rookie contract. Whatever you think about Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz is going to be getting paid as one of the highest paid guys in the league for the next like 3 years, and they can't really get rid of him. And that's including that they drafted Jalen Hurts with a pick that still doesn't make sense. But anyway, so they're more over the
mess, right?
Yeah, the cap is a mess. They're more over the cap than anybody next year. So they can probably like get either at or close to like breaking even if you cut a few guys. You know, you cut Alshon Jeffrey, DeSean Jackson, trade Zach Ertz. Jason Kelce maybe retires, but then you're also don't have the money. You don't have the money to go and add new talent, and so you're stuck with the roster you have. So you're going to basically be like hoping and praying that Carson Wentz returns to his 2017 form, and that you strike on a bunch of draft picks, which they haven't. And then the flip side, you look at the Giants. You know, they have Joe Judge. They have a young team. They can get a decent amount of cap space this offseason once you cut Golden Tate, you cut a bunch of role players. I guess you could bite the bullet on Solder if you really wanted to, and you take a dead cap hit and still save like $6 million. And so you have that money, and they don't need to resign that many guys. I mean, Leonard Williams is going to cost a lot of money. I imagine they're trying to bring him back, but they're going to have, you know, a decent first round pick if they can, you know, strike some gold on some, like there's a path for the Giants to like keep ascending. Whereas you don't really see that as much with the Eagles, and that again, that's like the first time I think you could legitimately say that in a long time. And a lot of it really depends on what Daniel Jones becomes. We'll get into that in a second. But like, would you agree with that like you can look at their two situations, say, okay, maybe you know, like today, I'm not confident they'll be better than the Eagles next year, but they have the path to getting there more than the Eagles have to getting better necessarily.
Oh, certainly. I think especially if you look at it, and the cap situation is really underscored by the fact that the cap is going to go down about $25 million next year for each team. I think from what, 198 to 176 is the projection. So
yeah,
that squeezes the teams who are squeezed even more. I mean, then that really puts you in a vice clamp. So right now that does not bode well for the Eagles. They, you know, no one could have predicted the pandemic would have happened or this would have been the result of it. That really puts the Eagles in an even tougher spot to dig out of, and the Carson Wentz contract really is dragging them down right now. Considering how poorly he's playing, it's remarkable. Look at, you know, how he's paid versus how he's playing. It's really ridiculous. I mean, I don't think this is a situation where the fans can necessarily run him out of town or anything like that. I mean, it is not, you know, that sounds nice, I suppose, but you know, especially if you're an angry Eagles fan, but the contract is not going to allow for it. The Eagles are handcuffed to this guy, and they're sinking right now because of that contract. Now, he's certainly shown the ability to play well, but he's really the guy that has to bail this thing out and to bail out the water off the kind of a sinking ship, because there's not a lot of other escape routes, as you said. So they have to have their guys who have played well for them in the past, you know, turn it around, because there are not a lot of outside routes, outside paths to be able to do that in terms of cap space and that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think the bottom line comes down to, you also have to, you know, do you trust the person who's running the show?
Yeah, so, I was about to bring that up. Yeah, so
have all the cap space and draft picks in the world, and we've been over this again and again with how poorly. Oh yeah, they get rid of Odell Beckham. Okay, cool, a great trade by Dave Gettleman. If you know, but the picks were a disaster because they resulted in DeAndre Baker. So so do you trust Howie Roseman do you trust Howie Roseman with fewer assets versus Dave Gettleman or potentially the new GM, which we don't know who it will be, with more assets, which makes it such a nebulous question because we don't know who the new GM might be. So that's an interesting and fascinating one, because Howie Roseman's skills are really going to be put to the test here next offseason. What do you do with very little?
Yeah. So I was going to get into Jones, but I feel like we should turn this into a Gettleman discussion at this point. So part of that, what you're talking about is, you know, they gave Carson, usually the theory is teams like go all in before a guy gets his second contract at quarterback, which is what the Eagles did. And it's part of why they were able to win the Super Bowl in 2017. You know, they went out and got guys like Alshon Jeffrey and all those veteran guys they got. And the Giants are in that position now because they have Daniel Jones on his rookie deal. And so it becomes a twofold conversation of, number one, do you believe in Jones? Number two, do you believe that Dave Gettleman can actually capitalize on those years, which he hasn't done? You know, he probably had his best offseason this year, which isn't saying much. You know, he signed James Bradbury, who's been, you know, an absolute stud. He destroyed Carson Wentz the other day. Blake Martinez has been pretty good. Logan Ryan's been a good veteran. You know, questions about Andrew Thomas, but, you know, Matt Pert maybe has some potential. Darnay Holmes, whatever. Like, there's a few, like, he had less misses this year than he usually does. But, like, has he done enough to keep the job? And that's kind of going to be the interesting part about this latter part of the season, because, you know, just knowing how John Mara has handled these things, he said he wanted to see improvement. He could say, you know, there's all these people acting like the Giants are the best 3-17 they've ever seen. They're the best 2-17 they've ever seen. They're the best 1-17 they've ever seen because they're competitive every week. So does John Mara believe that? Like, does he see the fact that they're competing and they're losing close every week and he says, okay, we're getting somewhere? Or does he actually, like, take a look in the mirror and realize, okay, if Dave Gettleman did a better job of building up the roster and getting better talent, then Joe Judge would probably be winning more games right now. And so do you want Dave Gettleman calling the shots still this upcoming offseason, which will be maybe their most important one if this turnaround is really going to happen, because they really need a strike gold on every move they make this offseason, because otherwise they're going to be wasting another year of either Daniel Jones's prime or before Saquon Barkley gets paid big, which they inevitably will overpay him. And that's another discussion, because I think they've proven the last 2 weeks they don't need Saquon, at least not at like the amount of money they're going to give him. But so like, where do you stand on, I know we both believe they should not retain Dave Gettleman, but like, at what point do you think, you know, you actually see John Mara doing that where he justifies it?
You have to look at a big picture. I don't think John Mara can make a referendum on Dave Gettleman here in the final few weeks, though I think that's possible that happens. And certainly if they win out, or if they win 7 games and he's probably safe, and 6 games, you know, I think there's a good chance he's safe. And honestly, you could make a decent case for him, because the number one priority is Daniel Jones developing. And if they close, you know, 6-3 to finish 6-10, I think that you could say, all right, he's probably developing and there's something there. And you trust the GM to stick around despite all the terrible moves he's made in the past. And, you know, maybe you say as the owner, he's earned the right to stick around. But what happens if they win 5 games? What happens if they win 4 games again? I just don't see how how John Mara can say, you know, at 4 wins or 5 wins again, that he stays, because of not only are the results not there, but really, except for this offseason when he made a couple of good moves, the roster building isn't there. I mean, you have to judge the GM on what he's given the coach to work with. So if the Giants' ceiling is 5 wins this season, and you're saying, oh, Joe Judge overachieved with that, well, then what's that saying about the state of the roster he was given?
Yep.
Right? So you would say, like,
hand in hand, yeah.
It's like a two-sided argument. People are like, oh, man, the Giants really did a lot this year. You know, they what a great season they had. They went 5-11, you know, considering the state of the roster, that's good. Well, the considering the state of the roster part is why you should fire the GM. Like, I mean, like, I don't understand. Like, it's not that difficult to wrap your head around. The GM isn't coaching the team. His job is to get the players. And so Dave Gettleman has done a very poor job of that. And nothing that has happened here recently has changed that.
Not to cut you off, but if you're excited about the 3-7 Giants, you should also be angry at the fact that they're 3-7, because they should be better than that.
You should be angry about the fact that you're excited about 3-7.
Yeah.
Like, that's what, you know what I mean? Like, because
they'd be running away with the division this year if they won 2 or 3 of those close games.
If this coach is the next Vince Lombardi, imagine if he had great players, right? And I'm being a little facetious there about people keeping praise on Joe Judge as like this incredible savior. I mean, I'm sure, let's go back and read all the clippings about Ben McAdoo when he was winning. And like,
they made the playoffs that one year.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure all the same things were being written about him that were like ridiculously over the top, and in the end were proven to be foolhardy, you know? And so let's let this play out a little bit before we break out the anointing oils, as Bill Parcells used to say, so, or send him to Canton or whatever. So I think with Gettleman, you have to look at the big picture. You can't just look at the final 6 games of the season. But that said, I think if they win 6 games, if they win 7 games, he's safe and he stays, even if he probably, you know, maybe shouldn't stay. The decision comes with 4 wins or 5 wins, and that's sort of the tipping point there. And John Mara, you know, he supposedly learned a lesson with being quicker on the trigger and more decisive from the mistakes that he made with Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning, and Jerry Reese. Kept him around too long, let him overstay their usefulness. And, you know, he learned, you know, he knows those were mistakes. He knows they were. And then so he pulls the trigger on Pat Shurmur, a proven loser, a retread after 2 seasons. And he's a goner, obviously. And so I think that was the right move. We'll see if Judge was the right hire. Again, it's too early to know. Like, stop heaping praise on this guy. He won 2 games over 2 bad teams, and they're 3-7. Like, can we pump the brakes a little bit here, please? But with Gettleman, it's going to come down to Jones, whether it should or shouldn't. Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if this kid starts to continue, not the starts, because he has started to show some progress here the last couple weeks. If he continues on this uptick, that will bode very, very well for Dave Gettleman. But, you know, the last point on this, I think you talked about the Eagles having to thread the needle with Howie Roseman next year in cap space. We talk about the Giants being in better position, but they're still middle of the pack in cap space. It's not like they're not like they're in Jets territory with cap space. So you talk about how important the offseason is, because yes, they do have some cap space. Yes, they're probably going to have a high draft pick. Yes, it will be right before they have to pay Saquon Barkley. And yes, Jones on the rookie contract, all those things. But the GM, whoever it is still going to have to thread a little bit of the needle, because it's not like they're going to have a world of cap space to use.
Do you want to sign one really good player? Do you want to sign a bunch of okay ones? It's going to come down to for
them.
There's
not a lot of wiggle room to make mistakes. There's certainly not. That's the other thing too. So it's an important offseason, but it's not an offseason where you have a whole bunch of money to necessarily go spend, and not a lot of picks either, which we've been over a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And my last point on this, and then we can start talking about Jones a little bit. I would say the Giants should not fall into the trap of basing the entire decision off these final seven games either, or however many games are left. Seven, right? Yeah. Six.
Six
games. Yeah. If you're deciding based on these last six games, then you should just fire him, because like if he's the guy, if he's your GM, he's your GM. If he's not, he's not. You shouldn't be, you know, waffling on that. I mean, the Jets are always the best example for dysfunction. And the fact that they kept letting Mike Maccagnan work long after they probably knew they were going to get rid of him was kind of part of the problem. So I would say if they need to wait to see what happens these last six games and they're not sure if they want to bring Gettleman back, then you shouldn't bring him back. Like you need to have some certainty in there. And if like you're not sure if he's the right guy, then he's not the right guy, I would say. 3 years in. If like you're 3 years in, you can't figure that out, then you need to move on. But I mean, John Mara, you know, he's loyal to the people who have been loyal to him, and Dave Gettleman is one of those guys. He's a homegrown Giants guy. So that's going to be very interesting to see how they handle that. But Daniel Jones is a big part of that, as you said. I think the interesting thing with him is, you know, these last 2 weeks he hasn't turned the ball over the first time in his career, and they won. I wouldn't say it's why they've won, but it's why they haven't lost. And that's kind of like it has me wondering, like, so is his ceiling like game manager? Is this – you know, what they need him to be this year. Like if he's a guy that at his best, you know, he doesn't lose the game for you, but maybe he's not going to go and win it for you. Like, okay, if you have a really good roster around him, that's fine. But he maybe has potential for more. I don't know, but I still don't know what to think about him even after these last two games. I definitely encourage you want to see progress. You know, maybe the first step was not turning the ball over, and the next step is they start taking more risks with him. But like, where do you stand with Jones after these last 2 weeks?
So he's what, 22 starts in, right? Because he entered last week 4-0 against Washington, 1-16 against the rest of the league. Yeah. That's 5-16. So now he's 2-16 and against the rest of the league, and 4-0 against Washington. So 22 starts in, he's played 23 games. You know, it's not necessarily even a season and a half worth of starts. And I remember talking to Trent Dilfer earlier this year about Jones and about Sam Darnold, and he talked about the marker that a lot of people go off of is 30 to 40 starts. But, you know, even if you look at 30 starts, it's probably about two seasons. And Jones is obviously not going to get there. He'll get close to it if he starts the rest of the year. It doesn't get hurt 28 starts. So, I think that if you'll have a really good idea by the end of the year if this guy can be successful. And I don't think you need to be look, he doesn't need to be the best quarterback of his generation to be a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I think Eli Manning showed us that, didn't he? You know, I think
Trent Dilfer, the guy you just talked about.
For sure, for sure. And Eli Manning, you know, won two. I mean, Trent Dilfer had an all-time really good defense.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you have to look at the supporting cast. Great defense or whatever.
And those Giants teams that won the Super Bowl, they were pretty good. One was better than the other, obviously, and they made runs and they got hot. But they had a lot of the right pieces in a lot of the right places, especially with their pass rush. And where would you put? I mean, Eli Manning was probably what, maybe like a top eight quarterback of his right in his in those years, or top five, right? Maybe top seven, top 10, right? Of that era, he wasn't the best quarterback of his era. Certainly not. And you don't have to be that. But I mean, was Eli Manning ever a first team all pro? Like, I feel like
no, because his regular season stats, he always like turned the ball over a lot or whatever. But
right. So, yeah. I mean, he's remembered with a great deal of fondness by Giants fans and around the NFL as well. He should be. I mean, he was a 4-time Pro Bowler, you know, so he had some really good years and really 11 and 12 is. And 8 and 15 were his Pro Bowl year. So he had some pretty darn good years, obviously. And he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, whether you think he should be or not. And he should be. I think the debate's whether he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. But with, you know, I think that's a lesson here for if Daniel Jones can become a really, a very good quarterback or a pretty darn good quarterback, he doesn't have to be, you know, Deshaun Watson numbers, Patrick Mahomes number. I mean, because you look at those guys' numbers, because I did a list the other day of like, the 2017 to 2019 quarterback prominent guys, you know, all the way from Mitch Trubisky to Mahomes and Josh Rosen at the short end of it. And Jones actually was like right in the middle of the pack, honestly, because he hasn't been nearly as bad as some of those other guys. But he's really at this point where this is when it's going to go one way or the other. I think, I think you have to know by the end of this year, okay, this guy could be the guy, or if he's going to be really bad the rest of the year, I think you know that he's probably not the guy, if that makes sense. I don't think you have to know that he is the guy by the end of this year, but I think you could know that he's not if he goes back into the toilet.
Yeah, that's why I'm very curious to see. I think the next step he takes, like I was saying earlier, you know, he went from some of his worst games to the last 2 weeks. Just, you know, the Giants clearly made it a point of emphasis that they did not want to turn the ball over. You know, early in games, you're seeing him come out really quick throws. I think he's thrown the ball quicker than almost any quarterback the last couple of weeks. He's made some really nice throws down the sideline. He's gotten to a groove with some of his receivers. The offensive line is playing better. The running game is there. So like you're seeing like the recipe that you need to succeed with Daniel Jones. Once they get more talent around him, you know, maybe he could do more than he is right now. So I'm curious, like over the next 6 weeks, if he's still just a game manager, which if that's what they need him to be, then that's what they'll do. Or if he can start taking the next step and like, okay, he went out and won them that game. And I think that's going to be like, so ultimately, if they are a team, that, you know, whether they win these games or not, if they're a team that has to decide if they want to draft like a Justin Fields, you kind of have to look at that. Like, is he a guy that can win us games, or is he just a guy that is not going to lose us them? I will say one thing that should have Giants fans particularly excited is that we can officially call him like a legitimate running threat, because I don't think that's a fluke at this point. Like, it's happened so many weeks in a row now where teams are just falling for that zone read where they don't like get him and he runs past everybody. And you know, he's going to lead the Giants in rushing this season. I think that's a lock at this point. He has the most QB rushing yards in a single season in Giants history. I think his career rushing yards are more than Eli, which isn't saying much, but so if you have that right there, and then you have, you know, his ability to make some impressive throws, like if he can put it all together, like there's a package here to be something interesting. But you know, if he reverts back to the form of, you know, we've only seen 2 games of this. His whole career before this, he was the worst turnover prone quarterback in the NFL over the last 2 years, and that includes Wentz, who has more this year than him. These next 6 weeks, you know, we've talked about it almost every week, these next X amount of games are going to decide if he's the QB. If they win enough games to stay competitive and Dave Gettleman's still the GM, he's absolutely going to be the QB still, because Dave Gettleman is not moving on from him. But if they lose and he's not great, then it's going to be an offseason debate. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I think the one thing to remember with that, when you brought up Justin Fields and would they do it? Would they draft him? I just don't think they're going to be in a position to do it, because the Jets are so bad, they're probably going to win 0 games, and the Jaguars are looking at a 1-15 season. And you know, how silly in retrospect to think that, you know, at 1-0, the Jaguars possibly weren't tanking or losing, you know, weren't going to have a terrible season. What a kind of a silly knee-jerk thing to think they're at 1-0. They're well on their way to 1-15, and the Jets 0-16. So it's probably going to be Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields 1-2. And then the Giants probably looking at maybe drafting an edge rusher wherever they fall. They're 8th right now. So I just don't see them being in position because of how bad those other 2 teams are and how quarterback needy they are, the Jets and the Jaguars.
The Giants are winning too much. Who knew?
Yeah, exactly. And those teams are so bad that I think it's going to go Lawrence and Fields, and that's sort of the odds-on decision right now.
Yeah, I think that's fair. To put a bow on this episode, I think we can let's spin it forward. So, like, how do you see the like? It's so hard to predict with this team in particular, and this schedule is so hard coming up for them and the Eagles. Like, how do you see? What do you think happens? I think from my end, I think they beat the Bengals. I don't think it's like a lock by any means. I think Joe Burrow is like a legit player, and like it'll be probably a close game, to be honest with you. But they're offensive line is pretty bad and their defense is pretty bad. So the Giants, if they want to make the playoffs, they have to win that game. I don't know. I think they have to win one of those games against those really good teams, probably one of the Seattle's, Browns, Cardinals, Ravens. Out of that group, you know, maybe the Seahawks have a bad defense, so they have Russell Wilson. The Browns, you know, they lost Odell. They have a really good running team, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know if I believe they can beat those four teams. Maybe they could steal a win out of one of them, and I think they beat the Cowboys at the end. So I see them probably finishing with around five wins, maybe six if they get one of those. If they get to six, they probably win this division. But I'll predict they get to five wins, 5-11, just missed the playoffs. And I think that you can feel a little pretty good about that going into the offseason. Weirdly, considering, you know, four or five wins, if you had said that before the season, I think Giants fans wouldn't have been very happy. But considering how things played out, I think you can go into the offseason feeling a little momentum maybe.
Yeah, you always feel better finishing with more, you know, finishing on a high note, and that's really deceptive in a lot of cases.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you know, and it's probably saved a lot. Like, you look at Adam Gase last year in particular, is probably the main one you're thinking of there, right?
About Rex Ryan 2013, if you go back to that, they finish 8-8, and John Idzik, you know, prancing down the yellow brick road there with Rex Ryan in Miami 2013, end of the season 8-8, and they're all popping champagne over that, or, you know, so I think, you know, they'll win. They'll beat the Bengals. They'll beat the Cowboys. Those are the games. Well, if I had to pick them, that's five wins right there. I don't see them winning any of those other games. If you had to pick it, I'd probably say the Browns. I don't see any way they can cover DeAndre Hopkins. He's going to have a field day against
them. The Cardinals are legit, I think, yeah.
And so I think six wins there, but I don't necessarily buy that 6-10 is going to get them there, because I think if – look, the Eagles have to win three more games for them to get to 6.5 wins. You know, I think people need to understand a tie is a half a win.
Okay, yep.
So the Eagles close, right? So the Eagles have to win three more games, right? So the Eagles close Browns, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Cardinals, Cowboys, Washington. So Cowboys, Washington probably wins. And the tipping point game there is the Browns. The tipping point game for each of these teams is the Browns, yeah. Because Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Eagles are not winning those games, I don't think. Now they beat the Browns, say the Eagles do next week, then they go and lose three straight. How motivated are they going into Cardinals, Cowboys, Washington to end the season? You know, yeah. So that's a really weird, tricky schedule for the Eagles, and they ought to be motivated if the division's at stake there. So I think the Eagles win it with six wins over the Giants with six wins. I think Giants 6-10, Eagles what, 6-9-1.
Yeah.
Nice. So
yeah. With a home game in the playoffs.
With a home game in the playoffs, yeah. So, and I don't know who they would play with a new playoff format. I can't, I guess there's no bye. How does it work? Only the top seed gets a bye, so they play the number two seed.
That's right. Yeah, because there's an extra wild card.
Play
right?
The number two seed, who would be what, the Saints or Packers or Cardinals. Those are the division winners. Right, so it looks like the Packers or Saints are the top two teams right now. So anyway, the Eagles aren't winning the Super Bowl this year. The Giants aren't winning the Super Bowl this year. But, you know, maybe the Giants somehow, some way make the playoffs. I don't see it. I don't see it.
Hey, so
we'll see.
Yeah, but before the season, I talked to like some Giants fans. One of them said something. I've repeated this a few times. He said all he wants is to for the Giants to be playing games in November that like the fans can care about, like that matter a little bit. Even like a reason to root for them in November, because usually by November it's like, all right, well, here comes another good draft pick. Oh, look, they're going to win a game that they don't need to win and ruin their draft position. Great. Like, so instead you have Giants fans who are like so happy right now. Like, if you just look at Twitter, it's like they won the Super Bowl this last week. And I get it, because the Eagles have just been like a thorn in their side.
Yeah.
In like a disastrous way. Like, most of the losses, like the last eight in a row, and I think like five of them were really close. And if you went and dug in, they probably had leads going in the fourth quarter in a lot of these games. The Eagles just always won at the end. There was always something bad that happened. Evan Engram with that drop earlier this year, like it was like, oh, just it's another one. And they went into halftime with the lead this year. No Giants fan was comfortable this last week. And so I get it, but it's just like, I've never experienced something like how the Giants fan base has been this season. A lot of it has to do with how much they seem to love Joe Judge and how bad this division is. But yeah, it's going to be like, you know, we're talking about all these scenarios of them getting in the playoffs. Like, it's also not outlandish to think they lose most of these games coming up. Like, none of these games are really easy wins, I don't think. Maybe the Cowboys won, but NFC East games are never easy, and they lost to the Cowboys this year.
You're talking about a Giants team that's been really bad, like, fairly yeah. recently in terms of the ability to finish off wins.
They were 1-7.
I mean, my God. Like, I mean, I get that they were close, but a loss is a yeah. loss, and they're playing some tough teams here down the stretch. And I think, yeah, the optimism certainly should be there for a number of reasons. Like, yeah, the division mathematic optimism makes a lot of sense. They're playing games that literally mathematically matter in November, and the fact that the division stinks playing in their favor. And honestly, like, no Giant fan's going to apologize for winning the division, nor should they. But I think with Judge, it's that we've been over it before. Like, it's that unknown factor, because he's not a proven loser like Pat Shurmur was. Like, that's why people are so excited about this guy, is because, you know, there's this titillating factor of like what he might be, because he's this young, promising coach, and there's no track record of failure there for you to be even cynical about. And so it's very tempting to think that, you know, we found if you're a Giant fan, we found this, you know, this coach is going to be the next great thing. And maybe that's the case. But I think if you look at the, like, Tom Coughlin, even early on in his time, I think a lot of people, even in his first couple of years, were thinking like, gee, is this guy like a tired act because this has been his shtick or whatever? And yeah. people were fairly cynical about it. But you didn't really see a lot of that with Joe Judge, even doing some of the things he did in training camp, because, you know, it's fresh. It's fresh and new, even though it's not. I mean, and he would even tell you it's not. But I think that unknown factor that really excites people. And hey, you know, we'll see. But you got to have players. You got to have players ultimately. And whoever the GM is going to have to bring Joe Judge some players. And he's going to have to. If this quarterback isn't it, then they're in big trouble, obviously.
Yeah, it's wild. And again, it's going to come down to, like, so everybody's saying the future is bright, but if they come out and they lose again next year, then the fan base will turn on Joe Judge pretty quick, probably. Yeah. All right, we can wrap up on that note. Thanks again for listening, guys. We appreciate it. As always, subscribe if you aren't already. We're on all the major podcast apps. Leave us a review. Leave us some comments. Sign up for our text messaging service, GiantsExtra, nj.com/text. And we'll hit you guys again coming out of the bye week next week, and they have a very important game against the Bengals.